The Catholic Church's Truth, Justice and Healing Council handed its final report to the bishops this week. It contains the council's recommendations on how the church should respond to the five-year-long Royal Commission into child sexual abuse. The council enjoys widespread support among ordinary Catholics for the way it confronted sexual abuse in the church. But will the bishops embrace what the council is recommending? And why isn't the report being made public immediately? Peter Johnstone chairs the Australian Coalition for a Catholic Church Reform, and he's a former head of Victoria's Department of Community Services.
Well, I'd suggest the bishops ought to follow the example of the Australian and state governments who released the full 17-volume report of the Royal Commission on institutional responses to child sexual abuse immediately they received it. At present, the indications are that the bishops want to look at it and check it out pretty thoroughly before deciding whether or not to release it. The Truth, Justice and Healing Council has done a very good and honest and objective job in advising the bishops, and I think their report will contain many good findings and recommendations.
Yes, well, you said there that they've done a very good and honest job. I wonder if it's brutally honest in the assessments they've made of the Catholic Church, and maybe that's why the bishops aren't yet ready to release it. Could it be a rather brutal assessment?
Andrew, to be frank, yes, I hope it would be, because that is in fact what's needed. And part of the problem, of course, is that the bishops haven't yet learnt how to deal with the fairly mild but somewhat brutal findings of the Royal Commission. There's a room for a bit of Christian humility here, I think, if the church is to really reform and deal with the grave failings that have been uncovered by the Royal Commission that were already obvious for those who wanted to look.
Yeah, well, Peter, you bring to this issue, as I said, your own background. You were a former director of community services in Victoria. When you say that there is little indication that the bishops appreciate the gravity of the Royal Commission's findings, geez, hard to believe that they don't. I mean, the Royal Commission occupied the news for 5 years. The Catholic Church was rarely out of the news. How can they not appreciate the findings, the gravity of the Royal Commission?
The only thing I can say, I think, is that they are torn, of course, in their loyalty to the institution, and they haven't yet realised sufficiently that true loyalty to the institution demands that they be humble and extraordinarily frank about the failings. Your point about the Royal Commission is a sound one, but people often forget that there are two levels of abuse that occurred in the case of the church. One was by those disgraceful pedophiles, some of them clerics, small proportion of clerics, but many of them nonetheless were clerics of the church. And the focus has been on that. But the second level of abuse was when leaders of the church actually protected those pedophiles and moved them around the place without reporting them to the police and leaving them at large to abuse further children. Now, that leads to the obvious question, how could that happen in the Catholic Church, the Church of Christ? Now, what happened to the standards and values of Christianity on which that church's very existence is based?
Now, you wrote recently in John Menadue's Pearls and Irritations blog that the coalition that you represent is concerned at the lack of urgent action by the bishops on the findings into the Royal Commission. So how should the bishops then be reacting? If you say it's not urgent enough, what should they be doing?
Well, something, Andrew, in that very little has been said since the report came down. There are many opportunities for the church to respond. I mean, if I could give you just one example, an important finding of the Royal Commission and recommendations was that the Australian Catholic Bishops' Conference should conduct a national review of the governance and management structures of dioceses and parishes, including in relation to issues of transparency, accountability, consultation, and the participation of lay men and women. I haven't heard a single comment on that very important critical finding.
Yeah. Well, you seem to be particularly concerned about a leadership that you described as unaccountable, secretive, and exclusive. So what's the antidote to that?
Well, the antidote to that is what's generally called these days good governance. I mean, transparency, accountability, and inclusiveness are fundamental to good governance throughout the world in all modern societies. The Australian Institute of Company Directors is a very good example of the leading body in this country which stresses the importance of those factors. Personally, as somebody who's been involved in heading a number of organisations, I have never struck an organisation that is less transparent, less accountable, and less inclusive than the Catholic Church. That's about how you lead well. No leader can lead well unless they keep people informed and listen to people.
Well, you've pointed to this plenary council that the Vatican has basically convened for Australia in 2021. What opportunity do you think there'll be there to finally address the findings of the Royal Commission, which will be then have been in the public realm for at least 3 years? I mean, what opportunity is this very important plenary council going to present?
Well, the plenary council is very good news in many respects. It is the first plenary council in many, many decades, and it will be the first that really involves lay people. And in that regard, it's a good initiative of the Bishops of Australia. It was their initiative, now approved by the Pope in the last couple of weeks. However, it is not till 20, and now it won't be until 2021 for the second more important sitting of the council. But the Royal Commission has identified shortcomings that need immediate addressing and which do not need consideration of the council. The council, particularly involving the faithful, can advise on all sorts of aspects of issues to be addressed in the church. But right now, the bishops and all of us know very clearly that there are practical issues of governance concerning accountability, practices of transparency and consultation that could be introduced tomorrow.
And just finally, why is it so important to have a woman co-chairing that 2021 plenary session?
You know, there's hardly a major organisation in Australia today that doesn't have gender balance on its board and ensure that women are represented in its senior echelons. The church specifically excludes women in its canon law from governance within the church. No organisation can survive if it deprives itself of gender balance in its administration. That's a lesson that modern societies have learnt. The church, however, is governed purely by men at the most senior levels, men who are celibate, who take vows of celibacy, and men who are, for the most part, elderly. I cannot think of a single organisation that would be able to survive if it applied those restrictions to its senior people.
Peter Johnson is chair of the Australian Coalition for Catholic Church Reform. He has a long history in senior leadership in the government and non-government sector. He was the former Director General of the Department of Community Services in Victoria. Peter, thanks for being with us on the Religion and Ethics Report.
Thank you, Andrew. A pleasure.